and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump has spent part of his day in Central Texas, where 1 week ago, the Guadalupe River rose 26 feet in less than an hour. KRLD's Chris Fox.
After a flyover of the devastation left along the Guadalupe River, President Trump and the First Lady met with first responders as they toured a massive debris field left in the path of the flooding.
I've never seen anything like it. A little narrow river that becomes a monster, and that's what happened.
They also took time to sit down with some of the families of those killed.
Our nation, we mourn for every single life that was swept away in the flood, and we pray for the families.
We are grieving with you. Our nation is grieving with you.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Troubling findings in a preliminary report of the deadly Air India plane crash last month that killed 260 people. CBS's Stacey.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, hello, everybody, and unfortunate news as we welcome you back into Rafters Baseball. The game was officially called final in the sixth inning. So the first five innings go complete. The top of the sixth inning did not count for the Green Bay Rockers as they went three up, three down. But that part of the game did not count. The Rafters end up dropping it 7-1 either way. And that is the final score, as rain has made the field unplayable and conditions are not expected to improve shortly. So final score is 7-1. And let's get right on in with the postgame show, as the Rafters ended up losing it. But in the first inning, they actually took the lead 1-0 on an RBI single from Madden Acco. That was the only run they would score this game, though. Steve Marhefke had a complete game officially. He went five innings of one-run ball and a complete game for the Rockers. So that is certainly an interesting way to get a complete game. But, hey, he did it. And he allowed just four hits on three walks and four strikeouts. Good stuff from Marhefke. And over on the Rockers' side, offensively, they had a three-run second inning and a four-run fourth inning, and that was all that they would score. Third inning, it was five straight hits from them, an RBI, a two-run home run from Eli Selga, and then an RBI single from McLean Helton. After that, it was a four-run fourth inning as they got a single, a hit-by-pitch, and then an RBI single from Eli Selga, and a couple of errors sent home two runs as well, and then a wild pitch sent home Stefan DiCorrado. So that's the way that all the runs were scored. It was 7-1 at that point, and then it just carried over until the end of the game. Final score, 7-1. The Rafters up next are going to take on the Wausau Woodchucks, and that is the final two games before the All-Star break. And the Woodchucks coming to Wisconsin Rapids for a two-game series. The first game is tomorrow at 6:35 p.m. Jeremy Jones on the mound for the Rafters. It's to be determined for the Wausau Woodchucks, who they send out onto the mound. And Jones, 0-1 on the season, but a 3.86 ERA. He's been really good for the Rafters. But coming off of his roughest game of the year, even though it was rough, he still ended up going six innings. So we'll see which Jeremy Jones will get out there, and hopefully he can continue his 10 consecutive batters retired to end his last game. But we'll have to wait and see for tomorrow. 6:35 first pitch, 6:20 the pregame show starts here on WFHR. But that's going to do it from our broadcast tonight. So a big shout out to everyone for helping make this happen. And it really takes a whole team to bring this thing together. There's a lot of people that go behind making sure this operation runs smoothly. And then, of course, to you guys, the fans, as you are the key to making all of this happen. So big thank you for tuning in to all these games throughout the year. Even if this is the only one that you've tuned into as well, a big shout out to all of you. But that's going to do it from our broadcast tonight. So for myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
that Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care?
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Mostly cloudy for tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-60s. Early storms, then turning mostly sunny, less humid tomorrow, high in the upper 70s. Sunshine and dry weather continues on Sunday with highs in the low to mid-80s.
Right now it's 73.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we got a little... Governor Evers coming up here in a minute, and then also our friend State Senator Mary Kunish on, and then of course Wendy with your sacred animal section here on Native Roots Radio. So here we go.
It's
a little humid out today, and I see there's an air quality alert that just popped up on my
I didn't see that. No wonder I'm huffing and puffing.
No doubt. And sweating. I was just sweating to bringing in a bag of peanuts. So
for our little squirrely friends.
Hey, so you know, things are the way they are, and we're not really happy, but we're glad we're here on Native Roots Radio, and we're able to talk a little bit about things that are happening. But what I want to do, Wendy, before we get going here, is I want to get Governor Evers' update. It's always pretty positive, and thank goodness we have Governor Evers in Wisconsin, the governor of Wisconsin, and vetoing those bad bills, but also trying to pull it together and make common sense about what's happening. So why don't we take a listen to Governor Evers, and maybe we'll comment a little bit on what he had to say. It's a really, really good report. So
yeah, I'd love it. Let's do it.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers here. I made a promise to always work to do the right thing for Wisconsin, and I believe working together to find common ground so we can pass a bipartisan budget that reflects the will of the people of the state is part of keeping that promise. That's why last week, after months of negotiations with Republican legislative leaders, I was proud to sign a bipartisan state budget into law. Our bipartisan budget invests in our K-12 schools, providing the largest increase to special education reimbursement rate in state history and the largest increase to UW system in nearly two decades. We're also investing over $360 million to support Wisconsin's child care industry, a third of which is direct payments to providers. And we're providing tax cuts for working and middle-class families. This includes lowering out-of-pocket energy and utility costs by eliminating the sales tax on household energy bills. And while federal leaders are cutting basic needs programs like food assistance and health care, our bipartisan budget supports health care across the state and invests $10 million for food security efforts. We're also continuing our work to fix the darn roads, support our farmers and producers, and invest in local communities statewide. Simply put, this is a bipartisan budget that is a win for Wisconsin kids, families, and communities. At the same time, this budget is also a reflection of bipartisan compromise. That means everyone gets something they want, and no one gets everything they want. While this budget looks drastically different than the budget I proposed, I believe most Wisconsinites would say that compromise is a good thing because that is how government is supposed to work. Wisconsin is a purple state. At the end of the day, it is my job as governor to get things done. It's my job to be a governor for the whole state. While there is much work ahead during these divisive times, we prove that here in Wisconsin, we still believe in being able to work together and get things done. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
You know, I always like Governor Evers' weekly report, Wendy. It's really positive. He did talk about being bipartisan. He talked about the state being purple. You know, the gerrymandered state of Wisconsin. I remember when I was a kid, well, not that long ago, even Obama, when Obama ran, Wendy, it was a blue state. So they've been gerrymandered out of it, and hopefully with their redistricting, and fixing that up, and maybe we can get more of a level playing field out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, I like what he says. You know, it's a purple state, and he's working for all the people. Okay, so he's a Democrat, but he's working for all the people, and he's passing a bill. He said that the bill that was signed was not the original bill that he presented, and they had to work. I'm sure they worked on a lot of different things, but they all came to a compromise to work together to bring, you know, something for everyone. So everyone doesn't get what they want, and some people will get what they want, but everybody gets a little bit of something. Now, the current administration that we have in Washington, D.C. right now, he will say, you didn't do what I wanted. You didn't vote for me. So we're going to wait for your FEMA. He punishes. He punishes. So we need more people in leadership like Governor Evers. We definitely do that. You know what I've been doing? You know how I save like my animal segments in notes on my phone?
Yeah.
What I've been doing lately is finding things about our current administration that I don't like, or things that tell the truth about things, because people, you know, believe a lot of lies.
Right.
And I have them saved in my notes, because when people come at me, you know, who believe the lies, I could bring up these notes and I could refer to them to say, hey, wait a minute. This is really what happened. And I don't know if you want me to do one of those memes, but it might be good to listen to it.
Well, let me just say this before we go on to your meme. I just wanted to say too, that was one of the things that our assassinated representative had done the night before she was assassinated, along with her husband
Hartman.
And that she did she did vote for a bill, because she said she would vote for a bill, and she kept her word on it.
Yeah.
And that was the health care for our undocumented relatives.
Yeah.
And so there has been some bipartisan things happening here in Minnesota, but not to the degree that it's helping people, that's for sure. But go ahead, Wendy.
Yeah, well, Dave Pinto, he's our representative. You know what? Let me bring that up, because that's really important. So Dave Pinto is our House representative. We've met him. He knows who we are. He's been to our house. This is what he just said. This is 23 hours ago. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake, these cuts to Medicaid aren't about work requirements. The vast majority of able-bodied adults on Medicaid are already working. No, the federal budget takes away health care for vulnerable people in order to fund tax giveaways for the very richest Americans. This was an unconscionable choice, one that will have negative impacts for years to come. So I've been following Dave Pinto, and I'm going to, you know, continue to do that. But Hitler did not start with the camps. He started with Make Germany Great Again. Does that sound familiar?
Well, listen.
Banning books, targeting the press, blaming immigrants, creating enemies from neighbors, defunding the arts. right?
Yeah.
I could go on, but yeah, this is exactly what.
Well, by getting rid of our undocumented workers, and we're having less workers migrate here the first time in 50 years. And what is that going to do for something like Social Security or Medicaid? Because if you don't have enough workers paying into it, they're going to say you can't fund it now.
Yeah.
So it's all a big setup. And then we have to really stay on top of it and talk about things that you just talked about, Wendy.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's weighing heavy on my mind. And we really have to be careful, and we really have to stand up. And I mean, even if you're posting things on Facebook, if you're getting involved with local politics, that's really important. There's stuff that you can do to help you feel better, and that you're not part of the problem, but you're, you know, part of the solution.
Yeah. Well, I do believe we're going to have to hit the streets here hard pretty soon, and it's getting outrageous. So, Hani Jihani, you cares for them. You know, keep careful of your soul, too. It's very important to stay healthy and wealthy and wise, I guess. Hey, Absolutely. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, and great to see you again. I hope you had a great holiday.
I had a really nice, relaxing holiday this year. It was kind of chill because it was a hot day, and I was hanging out with my family, and my one daughter, of course, is very pregnant and couldn't be outside, but we were able to get outside and enjoy the beach for a while, take a good nap, and then barbecue with the family and see the fireworks. So it was actually a really nice little holiday.
Oh, well deserved after this last session and a lot of stress, and putting tobacco out for you every day because of the great work that you have been doing along with your colleagues. I know there's been a lot of questions, and maybe we can revisit this. I know people might not be as clear or haven't heard about it, but kind of talk a little bit about what's happened to the mascot bill, and maybe just a little history about it too.
Sure. So, you know, in Indian country for a long time, there are a lot of folks that have worked really hard to prohibit the use or references to American Indian tribes, to individuals, to customs, traditions, symbols, you know, things like the feather, the spear, tomahawks, indigenous, you know, profiles and clothing. And oftentimes it was not, they were not used with any kind of real reverence or respect for it. And that, you know, there are different teams or organizations that will say, oh, it's because we just, you know, it's such an important part of our culture in our communities that we want to be able to use it. And that's not always the case. You know, we've seen a lot of disrespect. So there's been a long history of wanting to remove mascots. In Minnesota, in 2026, we did pass a law that said you have to remove that. You have to change your mascot if it is in any way deference to American Indians. And there were schools that were like, yeah, we know, we've talked about it for a while, and others that are like, no, this is our tradition. It goes back. And when I've asked some schools, like, well, how is it traditional, and how are you being respectful of the American Indian history or culture, or, you know, if it's a specific reference to a specific historical person, a lot of times they're like, well, you know, there isn't. They don't teach it anything special about it. They don't hold that individual in reverence. And so we did pass a law that said you need to change it. And then it got to be kind of complicated the way it was set up. So we revisited this year and allowed for those schools who would like to be, you know, able to continue to use either the image or the name to go directly to the nearest tribe and ask for, you know, a variance for use that. So, for example, like in Red Wing, the Red Wing school has a really good relationship with Prairie Island. And she's washing her hands all by herself. And I mean, even in the school, they have Dakota language classes that is so popular, not just for the indigenous students, but for other students, that they've added more classes and they have a good relationship with them. And so Prairie Island would say, yes, go ahead and continue to use that, the wingers and the red wing. Mm-hmm. And so, we changed a little bit to allow for the nearest tribe to make that change. I did add in the bill, and I carried the bill in the Senate, and I did add some money to it to help the schools. I mean, everybody's in a big hurt when it comes to finances. Mm-hmm. And so I put some money in there. Fortunately, the House wasn't willing to do that, so we weren't able to get that kind of support for it. But, you know, people are still asking about it. Do we have to do it? What are the repercussions? They have until 2026 to make movement and show that they're doing something about it. And it's not just high schools, it's elementary schools and other things. And so we extended it to 2026 to give them a little bit more time. And hopefully, you know, school districts are talking to their community, to their booster clubs, to the local Lions Club and other nonprofit organizations in their community. You know, hopefully the communities will come together and help make those changes, whether it's to replace a gym floor or signage outside. Some of those things just need to be done. We didn't put any penalties. We didn't say, you know, you won't receive X amount of dollars or you'll be penalized in this way. We're just hoping that the schools go ahead and do the right thing and make plans to either ask for that variance or to change their mascot.
Yeah, excellent. It's good to be able to switch it up a little bit, too, because maybe some of the tribes like, you know, Prairie Island appreciated that. And so that's really good news. You've still been getting a lot of questions about it. So that's why I wanted to kind of bring it up again.
Yeah, it's still a national issue, and it's still, of course, a state issue, as I just explained. There have been questions about whether the federal government is going to come in and say, for whatever reason,
right,
you can't do that. You can't make people change anything. But, you know, they always said local control, state control. This administration is putting a lot of the responsibility back on the states. And I think this is one that I think our state should be able to decide how we're going to address this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. And what else did you do this week too, besides explaining that bill again, which is great. And I appreciate you doing that again, because not everybody is plugged in as we are, you know, they have families. And so it's good to bring it up again and work and things like that. And don't pay as much attention as we do to what's going on politically.
Yeah. Well, two things I did this week. One was go down and visit the Chert Quarry. But then yesterday I spent my day in Waseca. We went on an agricultural field trip. I'm on the ag committee as well. And we talked about nitrogen and how to best use nitrogen in crops, as well as tile drainage, which I find fascinating. I love being on the ag committee, and I love hearing about really good stewardship of the land and of the food that we eat. And I'm always so blown away and impressed by a lot of, you know, these farmers that are looking to go back to really kind of you know, natural or best practices for the highest yield of foods. And now that, you know, there's going to be tariffs and prices on food and other commodities are going up, we need to find a way to keep things manageable for our farmers. Yeah. And a lot of these farmers, you know, are three or four generation. And of course, we know what whose land those lands were to begin with, right. The Dakota people. We went to Farm America. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's like a farm activity center for families. And there's an activity building. And then they moved like some log cabins onto the space, and the original farmhouse, and a blacksmith station. And it's lovely. And that was the first time I'd ever been there. And it was really lovely, because when they started the discussion, the woman who led us made a recognition that those lands were the original lands of the Dakota people. But that was pretty fascinating. But the other one was going to the Chert quarry down just south of Rochester. It's not a new discovery, but it's a new discovery. It's really cool.
Yeah. We got a couple minutes left. Explain to people like me what church, what this is.
Yeah. So Chert is flint, you know, that hard rock, that sediment was used for tools, for arrowheads, for scrapers, for all kinds of things. And this Chert quarry exists down in Grand Meadow, just, as I said, north of Rochester in Maurer County. And it's just recently become known to the general public. It's been there for thousands of years. So it's an archaeological and cultural preserve. There's 8 acres of undisturbed oak savanna and 7 acres of restored prairie that is really very unique to our history here in Minnesota and to the Dakota people. And we went down and visited.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief. As the search continues for the missing in Kerr County, Texas, President Trump visits a flood zone. CBS's Willie James Inman.
In terms of disaster assistance, we know the president has really talked about the states leading the way and the states leading in that disaster response.
A preliminary report of last month's Air India crash finds that the engine fuel switches were turned off as the flight started. CBS News aviation analyst Robert Sumwalt.
Why were these engine fuel shutoff switches moved to the shutoff position? I think that's the big question that investigators are going to try to answer.
David Gergen, who served as an advisor to four presidents of both parties, has died at 83. His son says Gergen died from Lewy body dementia. In 2022, Gergen was asked on CBS Sunday Morning if America was in a political crisis or a moral crisis.
That's a great question. That's a great question. I think it's a moral crisis. I really honestly believe these are moral questions ultimately.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryant experts have done.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Washington Nationals. Manager Pat Murphy making a slight change in the lineup. He started D.L. Hall on the mound before bringing in Quinn Priester, and another pitcher, Tobias Myers, has been called up from Nashville, while Aaron Ashby is placed on the paternity list. I'll have a recap after the game. NBA in Las Vegas, the Bucks introducing their new center, Miles Turner, who talked about why he decided to leave the Pacers for Milwaukee.
For me, you know, ultimately it was about just staying competitive. 2 years ago, got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, last year we got to the finals, but, you know, being there, being a part of it, winning basketball has just changed my entire perspective on this league. And, you know, John, even Doc, has assured me that, you know, winning is the top priority here.
Bucks GM John Horst.
This is a big day. Big day for the Bucks. Huge day for our city. This is a monster, impactful move and piece for us in towards doing that. And not only for this season, but seasons go forward.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you thought it was hard to cancel a streaming subscription before, brace yourselves because it's about to get even more difficult. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Federal Trade Commission's click to cancel option has been struck down by a federal appeals court. The FTC has tried to make it equally as easy to cancel a subscription as it is to sign up, so expect much more frustration. The whole issue started with Amazon, which was accused of tricking customers into signing up for Prime, then making it extremely difficult to cancel. I guess we know how Bezos paid for that wedding. Here's a Hollywood beat just for me. I hope you like it too. The show Bosch is coming back by way of another spinoff. Ballard will drop on Amazon Prime like Bosch and Bosch Legacy did previously, both of which are now kaput. Maggie Q will play Renee Ballard. Titus Welliver will return as Harry Bosch, who will assist Ballard with cold cases from time to time. All 10 episodes of Ballard dropped a couple days ago and are available on Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Mostly cloudy for tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-60s. Early storms, then turning mostly sunny, less humid tomorrow, high in the upper 70s. Sunshine and dry weather continues on Sunday with highs in the low to mid-80s.
It's 71 right now.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking about a little politics, a little things that are going on, a little, talked a little bit about the mascot situation and how that's leveling off a little bit here, and how people can still have their mascots and do it in a good way, and also ask the neighboring tribe. So really interesting work that you do. And we were talking a little bit about the quarry that you were visiting, and we talked a little bit off air that a lot of the flint, I guess, would be like what they made arrowheads out of too, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's, you know, just really hard rock that can be chipped at to create the really sharp edges for scrapers, you know, for buffalo. And it was so fascinating because the gentleman that gave us the tour just knew so much of the history about it and was talking about, those hundreds, thousands of years ago, the buffalo roamed the prairie, and they oftentimes probably had at least two buffalo hunts a year, one in the spring and then one in late summer to ensure that they had enough to get through the winter. And so this was a location that they surmised that a number of different villages or tribes would convene on this one place. And they figured that it was used 400 to 3,000 years ago. And when we think of quarry, like I grew up in Stearns County, where the quarries are deep, 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 where they cut all the granite out of it. And we'd go swimming in those in the summer. But these are more, they're deep, but they're shallow. They're shallow quarries because from the information that I saw there's just a layer of this quartz or this chert under the ground. And it is, it's been preserved within about 200 acres down in Maurer County. And they're saying that there have to be at least 2,000 of these quarry pits.
Wow.
And it's wooded. Now it's wooded in the spring or in the fall when the greenery is gone. It's much easier to see, you know, all of these different little quarries. But it's what's remarkable to me is that it hasn't been desecrated. It hasn't been farmed. It hasn't been filled in, and basically preserved by the Thorson family. They kind of protected it. And there's it's an ancient kind of I forget what kind of wood it is, but it's in a kind of a little forested area. But now it's owned and protected by the Archaeological Conservancy. And they are the one that are managing it now. And they have created a wonderful, wonderful self-guided tour. You can go down there and there's parking right off the road. It's a country road. But they've made some areas to park, and then you can walk through it. And there's signage up there. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful day. You would not believe the birds. The music of the birds that day was phenomenal. It was just like a little piece of paradise. Mm. That's what I did on Monday.
I'm looking at the site here, and it says the earliest known use of the stone from this chert quarry is a spear point used to kill a bison in Granite Falls nearly 8,000 years ago. So,
right.
Yeah, so that's some old school technology.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And to think that it sat there all these hundreds of thousands of years and mm-hmm. hasn't been destroyed is just, oh, to me, it's just phenomenal. And we owe a huge thanks to that family. I think they told us that at one point somebody wanted to buy that piece of land and build a house on it. And at the last minute, the family said no.
Mm.
Recognized for all those years just what a valuable piece it was. And I think they did try to get the Historical Society and others to recognize it too. But now it has been. You can go down there. I think there are scheduled tours, but you can also drive down there and just go on a you know, your own walkthrough. I know I will go back there. I can see that being a place when things are stressful or you just need to get out of town, a nice little drive down there. It's an hour and a half away from the Twin Cities. You know, we just ask that people be respectful. It's not a place to bring your animals if they're going to mess it up. It's not a place mm-hmm. to, you know, throw your trash or do your own digging or your own excavating as a pretend archaeologist or even an archaeologist. That was the coolest thing I did this week. And I think, you know, sometimes these are the reasons I love doing this job, is that I get exposed to so many mm-hmm. fascinating things that I had no idea about. And they have received some funding through the state legislature with our legacy dollars. And I'm on the legacy committee, so now I'm going to be kind of hyper aware of this. And hopefully we'll be able to support the preservation and the continuation of this and any other really cool projects.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's Maurer County Historical Society. It's maurercountyhistory.org. And then you can look for the Grand Meadow Chet Quarry, and what a story. And also I'm looking at their logo here too. They have a medicine wheel with some eagle feathers on the side here, and Grand Meadow Chet Quarry. And it's Wanhai Yukon, I do believe that what they call it too, and it has a spear with a flint arrow and a tool inside the medicine wheel. So that's very cool.
Yeah, and I would suggest going to that website and reading the articles that have been put out there. Tom Troll and Dan Went. Well, it's interesting because the group I was with are all these archaeologists or special interest folks from around the state. I mean, there was somebody that came down from Ely that day for this tour and discussion. And they have been working on this. There's an artist that has done beautiful work for some of the signage. And I think it's just fascinating. These are non-native people that recognize the importance of learning about these, educating people around it, preserving and recognizing the historic and cultural context of our Indigenous people here in Minnesota. And, you know, we always appreciate it when non-native folks are just as vested in that kind of work as anybody else.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate our allies, our non-native allies out there with the support that we can get and to make things happen. And I appreciate you too, and the other legislators that are in the Minnesota House and Senate, as you're in the Senate, but we have things happening here in Minnesota that other states don't have. And I truly, from my last job as being a Ho-Chunk legislator that I just ended last week, I can just appreciate by being all over the country and also really embedded in Wisconsin how good we have it here in Minnesota because of our native leadership and the BIPOC leadership.
Yeah. You know, I'm the chair of the American Indian state legislators across the nation. And when we get together and I talk about some of these pieces of legislation that Minnesota has been able to lead on or that other states are working on or have led on, you know, it really is because we have native leadership that most of this gets done. We have allies that are willing to do the work, but I don't know that they're as vested in it or understand it. Or, you know, mm-hmm. when you connect these things to your ancestors, to your uncles and aunties and grandpas, unchis and kushis, and, you know, you can, it means so much more. And the fact that we spend a lot of our time educating folks around that, Minnesota is leading in so many ways that makes me a little nervous about, you know, what the federal government might come back and say, now you can't do this or you must do that. Mm. But we have a strong team at the legislature, you know, me in the Senate, and then Representative Koslowski and Keeler in the House. The three of us are, you know, yeah. we're formidable when we put our minds to it. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, there's a lot of people that are willing to listen and help us out with this. So we always need more folks. We need more folks at the Minnesota legislature, and more Native folks, please.
Yeah, definitely.
Next year is an election year, everybody. I mean, like, everybody has to get reelected. The governor, lieutenant governor pair, the secretary of state, the auditor, the attorney general, all the state reps, all the state senators. We all have to get reelected next year, which means it's an opportunity for new people to step up and run for office. Even if somebody isn't, if your local person isn't, is still going to run, like, you can challenge them, even if they're in your own party or in the other party. Look at who's representing you, and make sure that if they're not representing you in the way that you want, that you consider stepping in. And there's people out there to help, so let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love, you know, in the future that we could maybe have you bring some people on during your day on Friday and have you have a conversation with them, and so people get to know them better and also be able to support them. And maybe we can ask them some good questions too. So we'll have to talk about that in the future, State Senator.
Yeah, we will be gearing up, let me tell you.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we had State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota on. Thank you again so much. Have a great weekend.
Wopilatonk, everyone. Take care.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
I'll never forget. I was driving my Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota, and I was hit at 35 miles an hour, rear-ended square flush. If not for the structural integrity of my Sienna, I wouldn't be here right now. There's a lot I can say about Rudy Luther Toyota, about their fantastic service department and their great selection, but being able to say your car saved my life is the best endorsement I can make. Toyotas from Rudy Luther Toyota are my highest recommendation. Get one today and tell them me, Matt McNeil, told you to stop on in. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGD.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
The show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No!
Oh!
Hey, honey G, hey, honey. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years and has been a co-founder of Native Roots Radio for going on our ninth season here. So, hey, welcome and take it away.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. And I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. So I have some fun facts today. We're going to keep it light and talk about some fun animal facts. Now that, what happened to my fun animal facts? What's happening? Okay. So did you know that when you hear bird song, birds, your brain is wired to respond to the frequency of bird song. Yeah, for thousands of years, it meant daylight, safety, and no danger nearby. Today, it still activates your parasympathetic nervous system, the one responsible for rest, digestion, and regeneration.
What about crickets?
I need to get up earlier so I could listen to the bird songs. I remember that when I was a kid and, you know, we didn't have any air conditioning or anything in our house. So we had the windows open and early in the morning you'd hear the birds singing. And I remember like yelling at my window, shut up.
Oh, geez.
Because they woke me up.
You should do that in Stillwater, too.
But I do, you know, now our windows are closed. We have the AC on and I never hardly hear the birds singing, like, you know, singing in the morning.
That's sad.
So there's this dog and I've talked about him before in the past, but I came across his name's Odin. So Odin, the hero dog who refused to leave his goats behind during California's Tubbs fire in 2017, as California's deadly Tubbs fire swept through the North Bay, a great Pyrenees named Odin made the choice that stunned his family. When evacuation orders came, Odin refused to leave his herd of 8 goats despite the growing danger. His owner, Roland Hendel, was forced to evacuate, heartbroken, knowing if Odin would survive. But Odin didn't run. As the fire raged, he led the goats to a rocky area he instinctively knew was safer and stayed with them throughout the night. Days later, the family returned expecting ashes, but Odin came limping towards them, burned and injured, with all 8 goats safe. Wow. Even more incredibly, he had also protected several baby deer that had join the herd. Odin's loyalty and courage saved lives. Bred for generations to guard livestock, he lived up to his legendary and in most extreme conditions. His story became a symbol of hope, love, and unbreakable bond between animals. In the face of disaster, Odin proved that true heroes don't flee, they stay. That's a true story. That's Odin, yeah. That's really unbelievable how the dog, you could look him up and see pictures of him. His owners took pictures of him as soon as he was rescued. So,
right.
Yeah, but all 8 goats survived and a couple of baby deer. So there you go. So we have crows that come in our backyard all the time. They're literally go on the telephone wire and on top of our garage and they squawk at us because they know that we throw them peanuts and seeds and stuff.
They give gifts, though.
They do give gifts. They leave Robert feathers. They're big, black, beautiful feathers. That we found. But here's a little story. Have you ever crossed a crow or
never.
Did bad things to
never.
A crow, right? Because they will remember, not just for a day, not just for a season. We're talking years, entire generations even. Crows have one of the most advanced memories in the animal kingdom. They recognize human faces, pass along information through their family lines, and aren't shy about holding a grudge. These aren't your average birds. They attend crow funerals, use tools, and even have regional dialects. If you're lucky enough to befriend one, they might bring you shiny gifts. Right. But if you wrong one or anyone in their murder, and their murder is their group, they'll make sure the whole sky knows about it. This is not superstition. This is science.
Wow.
Yes. So there's a little, there's a story about a little girl in England who was walking with her mom to school and saw this crow. So she decided to bring peanuts, and the little girl every day would bring a, you know, a pocket full of peanuts and feed the crow on the way to school and leave the peanuts for the crow. And this particular crow would find shiny, little shiny objects around, all kinds of things, and leave them for her, like on her stoop.
Wow.
And she got a little like a shadow box, and she kept all the stuff that the crow left her.
Oh.
And it was like really cute little things, like little paper clips or like broken jewelry, all kinds of anything shiny the crow brought her and left it. Isn't that sweet?
That's cool. That's very cool.
I know. And we have this one crow. We can't really differentiate one from the other because, you know, they look all alike, but there's one that limps. Yep. We just call him, oh, Limpy's here.
That has his mouth open too. He's That was weird.
Well, that was weird, but I think it was on a really, really hot day. You know, we put this, hose out for him and put the water on, like spray, like a shower spray, and then like three of them were like in our grass just rolling around doing a bird bath. It was really kind of unbelievable. Cool. Yeah, good news here. I have paws up for Rhode Island. New law bans cat declawing effective September 1st. So I'm really happy about that. New York is another state. I don't know what other states have the cat declawing law into effect, but I think it's a really great thing to do that. So
yeah, it's just not a thing, Wendy. You've talked about it over the years that it's like pulling our nails out. A human's nails.
Yeah, it's not even pulling the nail. They cut the knuckle, like the first knuckle off. Yeah, so it's really amputation. If, you know, I you know, had to be educated about this because I didn't realize that also. I just thought it was like pulling the nails out. And, you know, even though that's bad, you know, but it's literally amputation, and a lot of vets won't do it. Yeah, that's something here we've been working on with, you know, being a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals that we're trying to get passed here in Minnesota. So we're working on that, you know, little by little. We want our state here, Minnesota, to be a humane state, you know, for animals. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you know wolves and ravens? So raven is like a crow, but they're bigger. They have a like a more of a rounded beak.
Huh.
Yeah. And they're supposed to be even smarter than crows. So, yeah. Did you know that wolves and ravens share an unexpected bond in the wild, almost like a natural friendship? Ravens often follow wolf packs, feeding on their remains of their kills, while wolves seem to tolerate and even play with them. It's rare cross-species connection built on trust, cooperation, and survival. So these ravens follow the wolves around, and the wolves will, you know, kill an animal to eat it, and then the ravens get to eat as well.
They get to join in the feast.
They do. They're like a symbiotic little companionship there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Unbelievable.
Hey, wow, great information as always. Wendy Pilot with our sacred animal portion of the show. Always great to get input and
locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday, we'll put a focus on Green Bay goings on. We'll chat with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and preview the Jane Matinere Todd Alba tour of Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits. No, we can't read a mama poker face. deep cuts, and some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them?
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. After meeting with victims and seeing firsthand what's left after catastrophic flooding in central Texas, President Trump says,
"The First Lady and I are here in Texas to express the love and support and the anguish of our entire nation."
A preliminary report on last month's deadly Air India crash finds that fuel was cut off to both engines before it crashed. CBS News aviation safety analyst Robert Sumwalt.
One of the things I think it really points out is that this was not a problem with the airplane or the engines. Instead, the report indicates that somebody in the cockpit shut the fuel off to those engines.
The United Farm Workers Union says a farm worker has died from injuries suffered during an immigration raid at one of two farms in Southern California. Carter Evans says a worker's relatives...
say that they got some family members that are still inside there hiding, and we know that that has been happening because we've seen people coming out recently.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.